take God's Word and turn to Luke 14. We're going to be in numerous places tonight in God's Word, so have your Bible ready. I'd also like you to be praying about the summer ministry at Anchor Baptist Church. It's our plan, as long as it's God's will, but it's our plan to have our Sunday meetings outdoors and together all summer, not just on June 6th. And so June 6th is the anniversary, and so, as you know, but we don't, we're hoping that it's not just that one week that we would get together and have an outdoor meeting. Of course, we're praying that the restrictions would ease up and there would be other opportunities, even while we're meeting outdoors, to make it more what we're used to when we gather together for church. We'll be explaining all of that regarding our June 6th meeting. But maybe, God willing, by the end of May, there would be some changes in that. And that would be a blessing, wouldn't it? And so please pray. We need to pray about that. Anyway, I could say a lot about what some people are waiting on, but I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting in the Lord. And so join me in that, all right? And pray for me that my faith would grow in these days. But anyway, possibly even on Wednesday nights, we'd be meeting out here. It's a beautiful night tonight. We really could have met tonight outside. Went out there a little while ago and just bring, you know, you could bring your Mr. Rogers sweater with you if you're a little bit cool and everything would be just fine. Amen. Do you have a Mr. Rogers sweater? And maybe you have one of those. Maybe you don't even know who I'm talking about. But anyway, Luke 14, let's talk about God's Word. Amen. I'd like to speak to you this evening on this theme, marks of a true disciple. That's kind of been our whole idea this entire 2021 is we want to make disciples. We want to be a disciple. We want to teach others also. We want to be strong in faith so that we can teach others also. As you think about a mark, one of the things that came to my mind was a birthmark. A birthmark. What is a birthmark? Well, a birthmark is identifying. I'm not getting into the biological, technological terms of a birthmark, why you have them and all that. I'm saying that it's identifying. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they could disappear over time, but I didn't study that part of it out. But they do identify you, and they, you know, some people will have that they look at, oh, okay, well, that's so-and-so, or that person has a mark in this certain spot or in the neck or the back or wherever, and some people have scars. Now, that wasn't a birthmark, but it is an identifying mark that happened maybe because of surgery. Maybe you have some of those, and you like to tell your stories about surgery, and you have the scars and all that, and so forth and so on. But these are identifying marks that do not go away. They remind us of something. I have a small one underneath one of my eyes from a war injury. No, basketball injury. Just kidding. I was one of the shortest guys on the team, as you can tell. And although I love having Brother Tejada up here, sorry, Brother Tejada, I just threw him under the bus. But it was just timely, you know. I feel like I'm a power forward when he's here. But anyway, I was underneath the basket, and you know, I played basketball with a guy for all my older years, junior high and high school years, who was 6'6", and he was as bony as they come. And if you're watching tonight, I'm sorry, but his elbow came down one time right underneath my eye, split me wide open under my eye and all that good stuff. And so I've got a little bit of a scar there, and then I've got a scar on my tongue. I don't know if I've ever told you about that, but when I was a young boy, I fell and landed on the lawnmower, and I slit my tongue. I actually had to have stitches on my tongue. Thankfully, you don't remember much about that age in life because I don't remember it, but that's what my dad and mom tell me. And so for a long time, I never wanted to mow the lawn. You know why now. Anyway, these things happen and they leave marks. If somebody ever maybe got a towel and left a mark, I won't go into that. And there's all kinds of marks. But we're not talking about those. We're talking about marks of discipleship. It's something I want to have every mark I possibly can to identify me as not just a Christian, but as a disciple. And I hope that's your prayer too. You know, I think of it this way. Salvation is God's gift to me. Salvation is God's gift to you. You're saved tonight. That's a gift, isn't it? You can't earn it. You can't serve God to get saved. You can't do something to get saved. It's a gift. We all know that. Well, at least that's what the Bible tells us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So salvation is a gift from God. Discipleship is, if in a sense, my gift back to Him. It's my living my life to make Him look good. It's my living my life to bring Him honor and glory. And that's the great privilege that we have as being Christians, children of God, to be a disciple. Discipleship is our opportunity to tap into the resources of God. You're not going to be a disciple in your resources, or mine. We're going to have to tap into the resources of a holy God. And we are given the opportunity to give our lives to a worthwhile cause. You know, we've been talking about that all evening. And some of the missionary letters, I hope you picked up on it, that there is a worthwhile cause for living. Doesn't mean you have to go to the Philippines to have a worthwhile life. You can be a disciple right now, but if God wants you in the Philippines, go to the Philippines, because that's where you're going to have a worthwhile life in serving the Lord. God might be touching your heart about Thailand tonight. They need laborers in Thailand, and that's where you can go and be a disciple. But the point is, wherever we are in our Christian life right now, it behooves us to seek to be a disciple and to have some identifying marks. Isaac Watts wrote in one of our hymns that we sing, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, what does it demand? My soul, my life, my all." That's what it means to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to give you this evening several identifying marks of a disciple, and I hope that you can identify these in your life, and if not, that you want them to be more identifiable. Luke 14, verse number 26, the Bible says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple." The first point that we have under these marks of a true disciple is supreme love for Jesus Christ. Supreme love for Jesus Christ. Now, if I have a supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen. I am going to have a distaste for sin. You cannot love Jesus Christ and love sin at the same time. It's impossible. It's taking water and oil and trying to completely mix them together. It's never going to happen. And so we might say we love Christ, but we still are dabbling in sin. If I love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, then I'm going to have a distaste for worldliness. It's going to be a bad taste. Have you ever thought you were going to be tasting something really good and you took a big swig of it and you thought you had you could remember the last time you had a drink of milk and what it tasted like and your taste buds were telling us, but instead you ended up drinking sour milk and you took one gulp and that was all you wanted. You know, you'll have yogurt another way, not that way, and it put a bad taste in your mouth. As a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm loving the Lord supremely, and I'm loving Him unconditionally as best I possibly can, that I hate sin, and I hate worldliness, and I want to live in holiness. God's Word says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Go to Romans chapter 6, please, in verse number 3, and we find an interesting word, Romans 6 and verse 14, excuse me, not 6 and 3, 6 and 14, and we find an interesting word in there, and the word is dominion. Dominion, see if you can find it. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you." This is the true disciple. This is the believer. This is someone who's come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. No, that's not how you live your life as a Christian. You have a supreme love. You're a disciple. And so there's a mark. And that mark is someone who loves the Lord supremely. And when we love the Lord supremely, we hate sin and we don't want sin to have dominion over us. What does it mean to have dominion? It means to rule over or to lord over. It means to have power over. A minute ago we sang that song about going to heaven and being freed from sin. And what that's talking about is free from the very presence of sin. And I'm looking forward to that day when we get to go to heaven and we're freed forever from the presence of sin, for there is no sin in heaven. But I'm so thankful that right now God has enabled us to have victory and we don't have to have dominion. Sin cannot have dominion over me, and I can be able to conquer sin and temptation in my life from the power of it. I can be delivered from the power of sin in my life because of a supreme love for Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. This is a mark. Look at Titus 2, please. Titus 2. 1 and 2 Timothy. Titus. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 12. Titus 2 and verse 12 says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, can that be said of you? Denying ungodliness, denying worldly lusts, worldly desires. What do you desire tonight? Do you desire to have more money? Nothing wrong with money. Or do you desire to have the will of God in your life? You see, really, this comes back to a supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have a supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we will deny ungodliness. No, we all fail. We all stumble. It happens. But we don't want to have that irregular pattern in our life. What does it mean to deny ungodliness? I've written down in the margin of my Bible, it means to move away from it. Now, don't get too close. We tell our kids. Don't get too close to whatever. You know, you got a ravenous dog over there, and you know, he's got foam coming out of his mouth, and we want to go over and pet the little doggy. Don't get too close. Looks like he's got rabies, you know. Move away from danger, right? That's what we teach our kids. Well, why is it all of a sudden as adults and we're saved and we want to get as close as we can to danger? No, let's move away from it. Let's deny it. Let's not put it in our hands. Let's not put it in our homes. Let's not allow it to be in our heart. Denying it, moving away from it. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And might I say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We can live righteously in this present world. Don't blame your, whatever it is tonight, sin on the world. Did you hear that? It's not the world's fault. You have the Holy Spirit of God as a Christian, and I have the Holy Spirit of God as a Christian. We have the ability to live soberly and righteously in this present world if we'll be pushing away from the world, getting away from it, moving away from it. And all of this comes out of a supreme love for Jesus Christ. That's the first mark. The second mark, let's go back to Luke's Gospel chapter number 9. Luke's Gospel chapter number 9. So the first identifying mark, supreme love for Jesus Christ. Second identifying mark is a daily denial. A daily denial. Luke 9 and 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. A daily denial. Denying self keeps God where he belongs. And where does God belong, as we say? We say that God belongs on the throne of our heart. God's Spirit is who indwells us as believers. And when I deny Ben, then I'm saying yes to the Holy Spirit. And when I deny the flesh and the world, and I say, no, I don't want what the world has. And by the way, the world has a lot to offer. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's out there. But if I deny myself and I say, these eyes belong to the Lord, they're not mine. And this mouth belongs to the Lord, it's not mine. And these hands belong to the Lord, they're not mine. And my feet belong to the Lord. And you could go on and on. My mind belongs to the Lord. It's not mine. And I deny what I want to do. And I deny the desires of the flesh. And I deny what the Satan wants to bring into my life. It is vital as a disciple that we daily deny ourselves. A daily denial, it says this, a daily denial asks the Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that every day we should be doing that. Well, I did that on Sunday after church. What do you want me to do this week? No, this takes every day. It might take more than once a day. Get in the habit, even in just quick moments, even at work, get in the habit, or at school, get in the habit of just saying to the Lord, you don't have to walk over to the corner and find a quiet place. It might just be in the middle of a work day. Lord, what would you have for me to do? Lord, help me in this. Maybe you don't say it out loud, everybody's going to think you're cuckoo, but maybe they think you're cuckoo already, so say it out loud then. But I'm saying we have an inner presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And we can yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And that's what denying self is what do you want me to do? And waiting on Him. Supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Denying of self. Then we see number 3 is also in verse 23 of Luke 9. Daily taking up your cross. Daily taking up your cross. We could also read about that in Luke 14:27, where we were just a few moments ago. You can just jot that reference down. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. The cross is an instrument of death. And so a lot of these, really, they really are going together to talk about self-denial. But the cross is an instrument of death. Die to what I want. And by the way, dead men have no rights. Turn to Romans 6, and let's talk about a few words here in Romans 6 as we consider being a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus Christ came alive, okay? Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, Luke's gospel, the resurrection, right? We read about it. Every Sunday we celebrate it. But for the born-again believer, when Jesus Christ came alive, so did I. When Jesus Christ came alive, so did you. If you're saved, you're alive. You are living because of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the sense of your spirit is alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Again, denying self. Again, supreme love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let sin be in charge. By the way, sin wants to rule. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive, there it is, alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That's a tool. Everybody, as a Christian, we can be a tool in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the hand of God. When I reckon myself dead to sin, it means we believe we have been crucified and the old man put to death. To reckon it means to consider it true. To consider it true. Far too many Christians are yielding every day to the wrong person. They're yielding to the old man. They're yielding to the old nature. And according to Paul's writing, I'm supposed to reckon myself, my old man, dead. Dead. And when I reckon it dead, then I don't think the way that I used to think. And I don't say what I used to say. And I don't act how I used to act, because I'm not running the show anymore. Before you got saved, before I got saved, we were in control. At least we thought we were. And now we reckon ourselves. It means that we consider it true. No, I want to challenge you this evening. I need to be, and you need to be, fully fenced off from our old ways. Put a high barbed wire fence around your old ways and say, I'm not going back to the old ways. I'm not going back to the old ways of thinking. I'm not going back to it. No, I'm reckoning myself dead to it. And I need to do that. And this isn't a message for you. This is a message for me. This is a message for every believer. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. That's why there's so much hope and joy and excitement for the believer. We don't have to live under a cloud of doom, despair, and agony on me. No, we live in victory, and we are alive in Jesus Christ, dead to the old man, alive unto Christ. Galatians 2:20, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's not Galatians 2:20. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I'm dead, but Christ is alive. I'm not living. I'm not acting this way. It's Christ living through me and Christ living through you and the life which I now live in the flesh. Yes, I still have flesh on me. You still have flesh on you. But we don't live it as we used to. We live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And I wrote down underneath live by faith. I wrote down the word daily. We don't just do this one time. It's not just when we get saved, although that's by faith. It's every single day. And so our past is crucified with Christ, and our present, we are living through Christ. Why? Because he came back to life. When he came back to life, it gives us the ability to have a victorious Christian life. It's not through us. It's through Christ. A little girl fell out of bed one night. Maybe your girl fell out of bed one night. Maybe one of your boys that fell out of bed one night. Maybe you fell out of bed last week, sir. And your wife had to help you back up in bed. Well, while helping the little girl back in her bed, her mom asked her, why did you fall out? The little girl said, I think I stayed too close to the place where I got in. As Christians, we need to move away from the old nature as fast as we possibly can. You see, when you got in Christ, you were just removed from the world of sin. Now it's time to, again, push it away and don't yield to it and get away from it as fast as you can. Supreme love for Jesus Christ, daily denial, daily taking up our cross. We're back to Luke chapter 9, 23. Last three words Jesus said in that verse, 9:23, and follow me, and follow me. An identifying mark of a true disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ. He who follows Jesus Christ. In a sense, I really believe that these are building on one another, possibly, in this order, possibly. I'm not saying that definitively, but these first four, you could really look at it like that. That each one of these is coming in line. This will be a natural thing to someone who have a love for him, who denies himself, who takes up his cross. He will follow me. What does it mean to follow Jesus Christ? Well, when we follow Jesus Christ, he said in Matthew 4, verse 19, he said, if you'll follow me, I will make you to become a fisher of men. And so the emphasis I would like to place, because the emphasis that God has placed on my heart in his word is that I will have a burden for the lost around me if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I cannot help but not be burdened about people going to hell if I'm following Jesus Christ, because he makes me a fisher of men. He makes me concerned about those who are lost. I will ask the Holy Spirit to guide me to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I will ask the Holy Spirit to give me opportunities. And by the way, a disciple is a learner. A learner. A disciple is teachable. A disciple is open to instruction. And so I don't have everything in line to be a soul winner or to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. I need the Holy Spirit of God. You need the Holy Spirit of God. We have plenty of people, as I said, 87,000 addresses in the city of Burnaby or more. Now, maybe not all of you live in Burnaby. We say Burnaby, emphasizing that because that's where the church has been for 20 years, almost, the end of this month. Burnaby, 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 over 87,000. What did I look up the other day in Vancouver? was it 161,000? I think, or more. It was under 200,000 addresses, not people, addresses. And boy, we have a great opportunity here in the greater Vancouver area, don't we? We got a lot of men, we got a lot of women, we got a lot of teenagers, we got a lot of adults, grandmas and grandpas, and on it goes. We have a lot of people that need Jesus. You know what they need? They need more Christians to be disciples. Because that's how the world's going to be reached. Follow Jesus Christ. I need to do a better job of that. Number five, look at Luke 14:33. I will say that this might be the most difficult one. Luke 14:33 says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath." Brother, I hope you watched it. I'm not trying to be Brother Chauvin, but not last Sunday, but the Sunday before that, we played Brother Chauvin, actually preached this whole text, Luke 14, many years ago. And we showed in the premier service the last message that he preached, and it was on supreme sacrifice. And it was from Luke 14:33. It's on all of our social media and website and that. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, it's there, and I would encourage you to go back and watch that. But number five, an identifier of a true disciple, is the willingness to forsake all that I have. Written down here in my notes, a willingness to pay the price. What's the price? I don't know. But I'm willing to pay it. Whatever the price is, I don't know what it'll be. That's why I submit to you that in my own life and maybe in your life, this could be the most difficult and unpopular mark of a disciple. And I just wrote this down during the mission update, like Godfrey in Sagada. What a testimony. A job offer. Now, a job offer in any place is important. I'm going to be very careful here, but I believe I'm going to say something. But in a third world country, a job offer, possibly like what he got, is off the chart. And life-changing. And yet he says, I don't want that. I don't want that job right now. It's not time for me. Maybe he'll have it someday. But he says, no, I have something else to do. I'm going to forsake that job offer, and I'm going to stay here. And look what God did. God brought his family back into the church. Who knows how God's going to use Godfrey in his life? And I'm not saying that you have to quit your job and do all that. I'm just saying, but are you willing to pay the price? Am I willing to pay the price? What does it mean? Here's what I believe it means: to use all that I have to glorify God, number one. Everything I have, I want it to glorify God. All that I have to further the gospel message, number two. And then all that I have to teach others to do the same. To me, that's what God spoke to me. Forsaking all that I have to use it to glorify God, to use it to further the gospel message, to use it to teach others to do the same. And by the way, it might refer to your finances. It might refer to your wealth and my wealth that we're supposed to give sacrificially. You have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. You have to follow what God wants you to do, and I have to do that. And it's not that I have to or you have to. I said that wrong. We get to. It's a high, holy privilege that we have to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Really, it's not a sacrifice, is it? I have to be willing, though. Two more. John 8:31. Marks of a true disciple. I'm giving you these tonight. I may have given these long time ago. I honestly don't know. The term marks of a disciple sounds familiar to me. Maybe it's because maybe that's what Brother Chauvin's title was. But I'm giving you these tonight because I want you to meditate on them, and I want to meditate on them, and I want to think on them. But I also want us to be able to pass it on. Pass it on. Look at John 8:31, please. I'm not in John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Number six, identifying mark, is a love and a continuing in the Word of God. A love for and a continuing in the Word of God. Faith in Jesus Christ makes me a child of God. Faith in the death, burial, and resurrection, faith in the gospel makes me a child of God. Makes you a child of God. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. If you're listening tonight on this meeting, if you're listening at another time, and you're depending on an experience, or you're depending on an emotion, or you're depending on a baptism, or you're depending on anything, you, and not wholly and completely depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need to examine your faith. Because my Bible says that you cannot come to, you cannot be forgiven, you cannot come to heaven apart from Jesus only. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, it can be an experience when we get saved. That's not what I'm saying. It ought to be an experience. It ought to be an exciting time. It ought to be a humbling time. That's not what I'm saying. But if that's what I'm pointing to is just that experience and not Jesus, I need to examine my faith. Abiding in Jesus Christ. So faith in Jesus Christ makes one a child of God. Abiding in Christ and His Word makes someone a disciple. Psalm 143, verse 8 says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. A love and continuing in the Word of God. You get your Bible out. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Number seven, one more. A love for other Christians. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for the brethren. John 13:34-35. Another verse you can jot down. I found this, not found it today, but I was reminded of it today and thinking about this. 1 Corinthians 16:15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's 1 Corinthians 16:15. That word addicted, from the Greek translated into the English, the word addicted means they set themselves voluntarily. They addicted themselves to what? The ministry or the service of the saints. So what did they do? They were committed to and volunteering to serving others, to loving other believers. The acrostic Jesus, others, you. J-O-Y. Love for other Christians. How about it? If someone were to look at you and be able to see marks of a disciple, there may be more. Maybe God would lay something on your heart. Jot it down. Send it to me. I want to be teachable. I want to grow. Maybe you thought of something else. Here's something else. What do you think about this, Pastor Turner? Shoot me a text message. Shoot me an email. You think this is something that's important for a disciple? And let's think about it. I want to be a disciple. I want to be marked as a disciple. I don't want to be marked as someone on the outside looking in or just coming around and wanting to see a bunch of miracles. And yes, I want to see miracles. I want to be a disciple. I want there to be, I want it to be very much identifiable that somebody sees me, they see Jesus. I hope these identifying marks, you're striving for them in your life too. And again, it's not so that we can pat ourselves on the back or so that we can have a big church or whatever. It's so that God can be glorified. It's so that the lost world can see the difference that Jesus makes. One of the most powerful things that we have is our testimony. Identifying marks.